Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. I am Billy Umbody coming at you guys for this just solo period of time before we get into our interview with On3 National Scout Cody Belair coming back to the program. Excited to have Cody on. But first, want to remind you guys to subscribe to thebengaltiger.com using our YouTube podcast code LSU1. That's LSU, the number one. That gets you 2 months of thebengaltiger.com for just a dollar. That gets you through the Bayou Splash and into fall camp. It's the perfect time to jump on board with us to get all the recruiting scoop, team intel, and more as the summer rolls on for Brian Kelly's Tigers and also basketball recruiting, Kim Mulkey and Matt McMahon heating up as well. We even dropped some baseball content lately on the team, and we'll have some recruiting content as well coming. So lots of good times are being had at the Bengal Tiger, our huge message board community as well. So we encourage you guys to join us there. And also want to remind you guys before we get to the interview that we are presented by MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludeke is a franchise consultant. He's also a franchise owner. He's been doing it for years now, and he helps people find franchises and businesses that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit to them, and all the reasons that people go into getting that side hustle, whether it's wanting to leave corporate America or looking for that side hustle to make more money or just wanting to leave a legacy for your family and putting together a business that they can then take over and run. That's where Andy can step in and help you. Andy Ludeke provides his services for free. And so it costs you nothing to reach out at Andy, A-N-D-Y at MyPerfectFranchise.net, or give him a call, 404-973-9901, and talk with him about how MyPerfectFranchise.net can help you find that perfect business opportunity to take on and change your life for the better. So Andy's been doing this for years, been involved in been involved in multiple businesses and has run them and helped people find the right fit for them as well. So reach out to Andy Ludeke today and talk with him. Costs nothing. His services are free. Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net. So without any further ado, let's get to our interview with On3 National Scout Cody Belair. Welcome back to the Bengal Tiger Podcast. Billy Umbody here. Happy to be rejoined once again on the Bengal Tiger Podcast with On3 National Scout Cody Belair. Cody, welcome back. Thanks for doing this.
Billy, how are we doing, my friend? It's always a treat to hop on the pod with you. So anytime I can talk to Billy Umbody, I'm having a good day. So today's a good day.
Speaking of good days, Brad Davis, it seems like, always has good days. And he got good news last week as LSU reeled in Carius Kern, one of the best overall prospects in the country. Cody, On3 loves them some Carius Kern. Brad Davis loves them some Carius Kern. What's LSU getting in the number one interior offensive lineman in America?
Yeah, Billy, I mean, talk about a pull for Brad Davis, right? And the LSU Tigers, man, he's the number one interior offensive lineman for us at On3 for a reason. I mean, I remember when Charles Power sent me the clip of him like doing backflips, and I was like, what the hell is this? Like, this is not normal. You know, you turn the tape on too, and the athleticism jumps off the screen there. You know, he was a 40-foot shot putter as a sophomore. He's 6'4", 320 pounds with a 6'8 wingspan, plays both sides of the ball for his high school, and he's just a flat-out violent human, which is what everybody's looking for on the offensive front. You know, this is somebody, in my opinion, that walks in and immediately looks the part, but also has the hand usage and is wired in a way that can step in and make an immediate impact on this LSU front, especially when you factor in the fact that Will Campbell will be gone, Emory Jones will be gone, Miles Frazier will be gone, Garrett Dellinger is probably gone. That's a lot of starts and a lot of games played that's going to be needing some replacement here at the next in the next year. So, and I know Brad Davis has done an excellent job of reloading that room, right, with some strong talent in the previous cycles. But man, I have a really hard time thinking that Carius Kern doesn't find a spot on that starting five if he were to sign the dotted line with LSU.
I'm 100% with you on that. He reminds me a lot about like similar to Sadiq Charles, just kind of has some of those freaky, I don't think Sadiq could do a backflip, but he was really, really athletic in the soccer goal and had those huge, huge calves, just physically.
That's exactly what I was going to say. His calves are
the biggest calves in the world. Biggest calves in the world. So I'm high on Carius Kern. I mean, this is another statement land for Brad Davis, pull him out of Arkansas. I know he's not from there, but obviously Arkansas is trying to do everything they can to have some momentum. And I mean, that was a big deal to get him out of there.
Absolutely, man. Brad Davis, and he does such a good job. He's the standard for what offensive line coaches you're asking of your O-line coaches. He identifies, he evaluates, he recruits, he lands those guys, man. That's all you could ask for.
And LSU has, you know, continued to build some momentum in the trenches. We know that. We'll talk more about some other offensive linemen that LSU has landed on a future podcast. We can go into Brad Davis way more in depth than that. But I guess on Kern, before we move on, do you guys have him as the 25th best prospect in America, number one interior offensive lineman? Do you feel at this point pretty safe with where you guys have him projected right now, rankings wise?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think there could be, and here's the deal. The craziest part of this 2025 offensive line group is that it is loaded. Like this, and Charles Power, director of scouting and rankings, has said this a couple times now, talking about this cycle. This group is unbelievably talented on the offensive front. That's interior and offensive tackle. So is there a world where I say I'm comfortable with where he's at this point? I mean, I would say yes. I feel very good about him as a top 30 player. Is there a world in which he could, you know, end up slipping out and staying in that top 50 range? Yes. But I mean, this guy is so talented and he's so violent. He's athletic. He does everything we could possibly ask him to do. As long as the senior tape checks out, I have to imagine Carius Kern could absolutely vie for a five-star spot.
When it comes to this past weekend's official visitor group, LSU did host some top talents, top targets, a couple of them that I want to get to in just a moment. But first, I did want to ask about a new offer in the state of Louisiana, a big one going out to another Destrehan star, and that is Jace Thomas, defensive back. He plays a little bit of everywhere for Destrehan, but this is one that over the course of the spring, we were kind of waiting on. He was around LSU a ton. And we felt like, okay, in his spring game, if that checked the box, he would earn his offer. But it comes this month. What do you think about Jace Thomas and what he brings to the table?
Yeah, you know, I had the pleasure of going to two LSU camps last week, which is always a great time. And Jace Thomas was definitely someone that commanded a lot of attention from the LSU staff. And when I tell you that this cat, Billy, was offered directly after testing, I mean, he quite literally ran his 40, went to the warm-up area to wait for drills to start. The personnel staff ran the numbers to Brian Kelly. He calls Jace over and boom, that's it. Offered. Done. Just like that. Before he even works out. So obviously one of the big questions they had with him going into this was some of the top-end speed, overall athleticism, and the size. So he's a legit 6'1". 175 pounds, has the frame to add some substantial mass, and he ran 4.4 in the 40 twice, and he jumped over 35 inches in the vertical. So I'm not sure what the bar was necessarily that they were looking for, but he definitely surpassed it at the testing point. And the important thing to remember with Jace, as well as the fact that he's younger for the cycle, this is a guy that won't turn 18 until July going into his freshman year of college. So he technically could be a 2026 prospect if he wanted to be. But I emphasize that because the numbers he's laying down and the tape that he has out there, you need to look at that through the lens of this kid should be going into his junior season, not his senior season. And that's very important context when looking at the testing in the film. But yeah, man, I really like the player. I thought he looked excellent during the workout. And I think his upside is super high, and I can't wait to see what his senior tape looks like.
We'll have some more camp takeaways from Cody a little bit later in the podcast, but we stick with what has been a huge emphasis on LSU's 2025 class, and that is the secondary. And hey, Jace Thomas, son of former NFL player Fred Thomas, on 3RPM projects him to stay in state with the Tigers. So that could be good news there. But let's move to some out-of-state prospects that were on campus this past weekend. Two guys that are very different in terms of where their recruitments are at and also kind of where they started. Let's start with Anquan Fagans, one of the top safeties in the country. And look, he's, you know, RPM, I believe, right now reflects Auburn, but LSU's been heavily involved here for quite some time. You saw him in person, though, so I did want your take. What stands out about him? He's almost one that, for me, I kind of look at and is it crazy to think Will linebacker too?
Dude, you're heading the right direction, Billy. You're right there with me. I'm right there with you. You know, I saw him work out at the OT7 championship, which is like the premier 7-on-7 tournament. We saw him, a couple weeks ago now in Tampa, Florida. But with Anquan, a lot of his game is downhill. Right. And so to your point, Billy, there's a world in which you say, hey, if this kid's floating between like 6'5", 6'1", 200, 205 pounds out of high school, is there a world in which you say, hey, guys, let's put like 15, 20 more pounds on this cat and just let him pin his ears back and go downhill? Just let him do that. Because as a Will backer, and Billy, you know this, you're being asked to do a lot more in the modern game of football as a backer these days in terms of coverage, playing to the flat, still working between the hashes, but a lot of your game is sideline to sideline. So what I think you're going to see a lot more, and Anquan Fagans is an example of this, is a lot of safeties transitioning down and adding weight and rotating down to the linebacker position. To me, Anquan has this ability to play sideline to sideline and still work downhill and thump and take on blocks. But the thing he does that the linebacker's position requires so much of these days is being able to cover and being able to play sideline to sideline. There's no mismatch if Anquan Fagans is lined up in man coverage. He can handle tight ends. He can handle running backs. He can handle receivers. He's a very versatile player. And I think what could be the best case for him is potentially rotating down and playing as a linebacker at the next level.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. We do that from time to time. We did not talk about him, though.
You're before smart the podcast, guy, Billy. So you're a smart guy.
Hey, every now and again. LSU, on the flip side, evaluated one of now the top corners in Texas and made a move. First Power 5 offer, first SEC offer, I believe, for Jason Stokes out of Pflugerville Weiss, right down the road from you, I believe. So he is on the rise. He's been really picking up a lot of interest. He was on campus for that official visit this past weekend. Wouldn't be a surprise if he maybe ended up in the class. And Corey Raymond, he loves some of these like late bloomers, you know, guys he can evaluate. And then, of course, he's 6'3 as well.
I mean, I tell everyone when we talk about corner play and LSU and Corey Raymond, he's the best coach in the country because he tells you exactly what he wants. There's no hyperbole. There's no, oh, you know, he's got to be a prototype perfect. No, no, no. Corey Raymond has a type. It's long, it's fast, and they have to have ball skills. And Jason Stokes has all three. In fact, when I was at camp, I had the chance to talk to Corey about it, and we had this discussion, and essentially we watched the tape together, and he was like, Cody, this is how I want them. Like, this is what I want my corners to be able to do. They have to be fluid. They have to be smooth. They have to be able to run with everybody that lines up across from them. But the most important thing for Corey is being able to play the ball in the air. It's about locating the football at its highest point. And it's not necessarily about getting picks, but it's about contesting at the high point of the catch. And Jason Stokes does that about as good as anybody in the country. And he's someone that I could see his stock rising, especially after we get some early senior tape.
Yeah, very intrigued to see if LSU ultimately presses for him in a all-out type of way because they are in on DJ Pickett. You know, they have Jabori Antoin committed, you know, in on Dorian Brew, some others that are kind of floating around, but I think when you're trying to rebuild that corner room, Stokes makes a lot of sense. It's, I think maybe I have this year off, but Corey, I think one of his last years at LSU, I think he took Radar Jones. He took like three corners. And I think that's what he needs to try and do this cycle.
Absolutely. I think it's all about getting players in that room that he essentially is comfortable with having in that room. There's a lot of guys in that room currently that do not look like Corey Raymond corners. And I think he just, it's, I would almost say it's a comfortability factor where you say, like, I walk in the room and these are guys that I know that's what they're supposed to look like. And so I think the more guys he can get in there that look like the players he wants to have, the better.
Let's flip over to the guys that have got to defend, the wide receivers. And LSU's coming into, I think, a critical point of this recruiting cycle where they're going to find out if they come up with one of these top, highly touted, highly sought after, tough recruiting battle wins for these wide receivers, or if they maybe need to dip into Louisiana and find a sleeper and do all those things, which they've done, and it works. We know that. Three guys I want to talk about are all at various points. Jamie French, an elite wide receiver. He's one that LSU is kind of right there for. I don't know if they're going to be able to overcome Texas. CJ Wiley, they're locked in a recruiting battle with Georgia. And by the time some people might get to this podcast, will have probably made his decision if you're listening to this on Tuesday or beyond. But you also have Cortez Mills, who popped up on campus for an official visit last weekend. You can start with whoever you want, and I'll flash the profile up. But
sure,
just a little feel for how different these guys are and what they all do out there.
Yeah, I'll start with Jamie, and then I'll go into Cortez, and then we'll end up with CJ. So with Jamie, I got to be honest, Billy, I think we have Jamie French like right on the nose with what we think he's going to be at the next level. I think between Charles Power and I, we've maybe seen this cat work out like 5+ times live at all sorts of events, right? Most recently, we both had the pleasure of seeing him at the OT7 Championships, which I mentioned earlier, and he's just so damn polished. Man, he is fluid, he's smooth, he's twitched up, and he's such a natural pass catcher. Does he have great top-end speed? Not quite. I wouldn't say he's like a burner necessarily, but he's not slow. I promise he's not slow. So he can separate vertically. He can pluck the ball away from his frame, and he can win at every level of the field. We believe that this guy is probably an early day two pick when it comes to NFL draft potential, but he's not somebody that's going to get out of the top 100 as his floor, right? So he's an extremely talented, super polished wideout. He's honestly maybe one of the most polished receivers I've seen in the last couple of years doing this. And that leads into Cortez Mills, in my opinion. Very similar type of player. Think of someone like Cortez Mills as like Jamie French light. They both win at every level of the field. They both have solid to not great speed. I think Jamie's got a little more nuance as a pass catcher. Like, I think he has the ability to go above the rim a bit more confidently. I think he's more sure-handed. However, Cortez on his best day is going to separate from DBs. He's going to win in the intermediate, underneath, and over the top levels of the field. He can play as an X, he can play as a Z, he can play in the slot. He does a lot of things for you. I just think Jamie French is a little bit ahead of Cortez Mills. Cortez might need another year of polish and refinement to his game, but their ceilings are very similar. And then that leads to CJ Wiley, who I think is sort of different as a projection. This one's an interesting one, Billy. And I'll put my hand up here. I was very early on this train, and I felt pretty bought in to his early upside in the process. However, after seeing the film at the ESPN camp from this spring, and I touched on this on the forums a couple times, but it's given us some pause when it comes to his evaluation. I think there's a couple factors that play into that. The red flag that goes up happens when you open the profile. Okay, so when you open up the camp data on UC Report, which is the program that we use that compiles like all of the data and the numbers from these camps that we go to in the spring, CJ chose not to test at the event. Some kids choose to do that. It is what it is, but he tested at an ESPN event 2 years ago, and he did do all the testing back then. So fast forward to this year's event, he chooses not to participate in any of the testing. He chose not to step on the scale. He also chose not to step on the scale at our On3 Elite Series this summer. And there's clearly some sort of concern there. But if you ask me, I think he looks great. Like, he's 6'4+, probably in that 205 to 210 pound range. So he definitely looks the part. But the camp film did show some hip stiffness and it showed some slow footedness. And that has us concerned about his ability to separate in the intermediate levels of the field. Now, when he goes vertically, he smokes guys. Like, he's 6'4", running sub 11 in the 100 meter. He can fly by the majority of defenders, but he needs more of a runway than we previously thought. And I think that could potentially limit his route tree at the next level and beyond. But to answer the question that I would assume that some people will have after this, which is, why won't he test, or why doesn't he step on the scale? In my opinion, I think he may, or his camp thinks that teams will consider sliding him inside. And I bet there's teams that may consider taking him as a tight end if they think he can add the necessary weight to kick in, or if they don't believe he has the agility to play out wide. I personally think he could do either. And I honestly think his highest upside could be as a flexed out tight end option, because that's what the league's turning to at this point at the position at the NFL level. But that would be my best guess as to why he's operating that way.
CJ is an interesting one. I think I'm higher on, from what it sounds like, him than maybe you and Charles, or I don't know if you guys lockstep on that one, but I just think, like, Brian Thomas, for example, like, big body guy, had the basketball stuff. And I mean, CJ has, you know, some, you know, backed up track data, and I'm not sure if he plays basketball or not, but that's kind of where I see. But maybe BT was a little bit skinnier, it sounds like, too. So I don't know. I just, as like, I'm big on the craft of the wide receiver, and, you know, I mean, we see it so much. It's almost gotten to the point where people do it for the gram, like all the little, you know,
all the that fire stuff.
There's still like a place for the down the field ball winner that CJ could be,
right?
I think in offense, and especially if you get a little bit of that versatility and maybe just get bigger, maybe it pans out. Like, I don't know. I mean, is he Alshon Jeffrey?
But could
in a modern game?
I don't know. It's possible. And I think it's funny. You talk about players like that, right? Like Alshon Jeffrey, and, you know, guys like Plaxico Burress, even where you bring up these big body monsters that can win vertically. My thing is, in today's game, how many teams would want to kick that guy inside and just let him be a seam monster and have a mismatch on linebackers? It's funny. I just think the way the position's moving, it's more towards your old school, or excuse me, it's not towards your old school X types like Laquan Treadwell and guys like that, where they're just big tanks, right? They go and win up above the rim. It's turning more towards your old school Zs, like your 6'6", 6'1" guys that win at every level of the field. And it's a speed game now, man. Everybody wants speed. And it's about winning in the short area, not vertical downfield. It's about winning in the short area. So it's very interesting. There's a world, and there's a place for him somewhere. There is. I just don't know where it is.
Exactly. That's tough. Where I talk about this on the board a lot. It's all about, like, kind of hedging your bets, right? Like, if we always talk about an arm length or a shuttle or a this or a that, certain data points, but there are those certain guys that still not maybe break the mold, but still fit into, like you said, he has a place. And I just wonder if he's going to have that place and it's going to be good enough. I did not know all the stuff about the lack of data, which never makes me feel good about players.
No doubt.
But, you know, shout out maybe IMG. I don't know. You know, but it's, I don't know. He's a good one to debate. It'll be very interesting to see. He is a big recruiting battle for LSU that they would love to win.
He's extremely perplexing. I'll leave it at that. Very perplexing.
That's a good way to put it. Let's finish up here, move to the 2026 and 2027 classes, and we'll save the best for last. But quickly, since you saw them both, two highly touted Louisiana prospects, Jabari Mack and Malachi Ziegler, both in different classes, but two guys that are clearly some of the best in Louisiana.
Yeah, you know, and Jabari Mack, right? Another Destrehan guy, comes to camp with Jace Thomas, famously the same school as Justin Jefferson. And man, when you talk about explosiveness, this fool's got it. Like, he tested off the charts at camp, and he's very well put together, right? Right around 6 foot, 190 pounds, is a 2026. He's got some serious juice. He was one of my favorites that I got to see move around at camp. So he'll definitely be one to watch for LSU fans down the line in the 2026 class. He's got an extremely high ceiling, very high floor. I think this is somebody that's going to be, you know, very highly coveted in that LSU building when they get to that point in 2026. But the guy that was very interesting to me, moving over to the quarterback position, Malachi Ziegler. Okay, this is very interesting because it's an extremely loaded class in 2027. Very similar to the Ricky Collins, Eli Holstein, Arch Manning class. That was the three, right? In all that same group, Billy? Correct me if I'm wrong. That was the three? Okay. 2027 is going to be like that again. And it's Peyton Houston, Elijah Haven, Malachi Ziegler. And I was extremely fortunate enough, big shout out to On3 and the budgeting team. I got to see all three of them throw this offseason live in person, which was awesome. And I think I might be planting my flag in the Malachi Ziegler camp. I just think he's the happy medium of the other two passers, right? Peyton's the most polished. He has great snap. He gets the ball up and out quickly, but he's probably got the most limited ceiling of the bunch. Elijah Haven, the exact opposite, has all the physical tools, but is easily the rawest of the three from a skill set standpoint. And I think Ziegler is just that right combination of natural arm talent, physical tools. He gets the ball up and out quickly. I think he's the one that might pan out the best in the long term. So we'll talk again after these guys play their sophomore seasons. But I do feel really good about Malachi Ziegler going forward.
Yeah, we're coming off, freshman seasons for these guys. People are like, who should they go after? I'm like, no. I can't right
now. You're like, playing the long game, man. Like, I'm telling you, until August 1st, I cover my ears when anyone says 2027. I still do it. I can't. So we'll get to that point. But, oh, man, it's there's so much time. And there's so many games to be played. There's so much camp. There's so much physical development. Like, we're running a marathon, y'all, not a sprint. Like, you don't have to get there first, as long as you're right.
One guy I want on my team, just in general, if I need some help running a marathon or anything, really, is Lamar Brown. One of the best in the country in his class of 2026. It's interesting because last summer – we were at camp and Brad Davis and the defensive staff were bickering over who gets Lamar Brown, if they do in fact get him, whether it be offense or defense. Now we fast forward again and people are talking about the same thing. I am in the camp that he is an offensive lineman. He could very well end up at offensive tackle if I'm running the show. His arm length is fine, but you say defensive tackle too, and that piques your interest, I hear.
Yeah, I lead into this by saying he's the top-ranked interior guy for us in 2026, right? But to your point, there's been a lot of buzz lately that Lamar himself wants to play defensive tackle at the next level. And we've been hearing that for a little bit now, but we have yet to really see him work out as a D-tackle in person. But the tape itself is good. Right. He plays both ways at ULAB. So we have film for him playing defense. And luckily, this past week when I was at LSU camp, he worked out twice. He worked out on the first day I got there and the day I left. And he worked out on both sides of the ball, both workouts. But he took his one-on-one reps as a defensive tackle. And I was extremely impressed with what I saw. I will say that. I felt like his movement skills and burst for his size are exactly what you want. And I'm excited to update that profile, Billy, because he's probably close to 270, 275 pounds now. So he's put on some good weight, and that was huge for us because I wanted to see what those movement skills look like as he adds weight. I wanted to see what the body type looks like, and he checks out in both departments, right? My only concern with projecting him to the defensive side of the ball compared to the offensive side would be the rawness with his hands and a lack of natural feel as a pass rusher. He's got great instincts and feel as a pass blocker, right? He's so strong as an interior player. But his arsenal of moves as a rusher is limited right now. And he lacks the urgency and timing of like when to use a counter move. Again, that's very nuanced parts of D-line play. But it is something to make note of when we talk about transitioning to that side of the ball at the next level. To put it plainly, Billy, I think his ceiling at both positions is extremely high. First round potential, honestly, at both sides. But his floor to me could be lower as a D tackle than it would be as an interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I've heard about his pass sets and just how just kind of beautiful it looks. And I've been able to see him work out as well, albeit a year ago in person now. Mm-hmm. I just think he's got the ability. I mean, he really could play all five positions on the offensive line. You probably feel really good about it.
Yeah. Oh, especially at the college level. Absolutely.
Like a shorter Ethan Pochick.
Yeah, sure. Like he really could play. My go-to guy that I remember watching in high school was like Donovan Jackson at Ohio State. He's from state of Texas. He was recruited by LSU. And we had him at Texas A&M when we were recruiting him. But I remember that was a guy that he literally lined up at every spot at camp. Like even the coaches were like, all right, let's just see what he looks like. And he was dominant. I think if you put Lamar legit at every spot on the offensive front, he would succeed. But that's a testament to his polish. That's a testament to his natural instincts as a pass blocker. He just has that feel that you can't really coach. And I think that takes some time on the defensive side, knowing when to swipe, knowing when to counter, having that feel and sense of leverage as a defensive player comes with reps. And I think he just doesn't have as many reps on the defensive side as he does on offense.
The good news is, two more years of tape, baby.
No
two
doubt.
More years on that
it's
one.
It's a long race. Yeah, he's an absolute dude. So he's going to dominate kids over there at ULAB for two more years, which they, I'm sure, are not excited about, his opponents. But it'll be fun to watch up for us.
Yeah, well, it's always fun having you on the Bengal Tiger podcast, Cody. So we appreciate you joining us, and we will have you back on next month, maybe. We'll talk a little more about maybe another 2026 guy who could – be pretty good on the defensive line too.
We'll
use that one.
Look, if Billy or Shay gives me a call, I am there. That's just how it works. So you say the word and I'm there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Cody. And we will catch you guys next time on another edition of the Bengal Tiger podcast. Thanks so much, Cody. And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, Billy.